Ishtak versus Holder, I'm sorry. It's good to have three judges on a panel. And not that I didn't think this case was important.
May it please the court, my name is Guy Croteau, representing Mr. Mughal Mohammed Ishtiak. Your Honor, this is an immigration case filed by a Pakistani citizen who had applied for asylum, withholding of removal, and protection against the protection under the Convention Against Torture.
Can you keep your voice up, counsel?
I'm sorry, yes. Again, this is an immigration case filed by a Pakistani national seeking asylum, withholding of removal.
You can pull this. You can pull this mic up closer, right? So you don't. And you can pull the podium up too if you want. I hate to see you have to hunch over it, but the podium does go up, and then that. All right.
Push the podium up.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
This is an immigration case filed by a Pakistani national seeking asylum.
We're good on
okay.
that. Let's move on.
The Board of Immigration Appeals.
His asylum claim is too late, right?
I'm sorry?
Just to narrow the issues for our discussion this morning, he filed beyond the one-year limit for asylum, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And this court has a number of decisions indicating that the factual determination, whether there are any unusual circumstances or changed conditions, is one beyond the scope of our jurisdiction. We don't review facts. We review questions of law. So aren't we focusing on withholding of removal and CAT?
Yes, really, Your Honor. The
I mean, I thought you were trying to make some argument about the legal standards for ascertaining changed country conditions, but I'm really not sure whether you've really done that. And I suppose if you're trying to raise a question about what's been lately happening in Pakistan with the assassination of Benazir Bhutto and so on and so on, isn't your remedy there a motion to reopen? I mean, it would be out of time, of course, but the board has some authority to look at those.
I have to agree with Your Honor. At that time that the brief was filed with the board, the appeal had previously been filed. Subsequent to that, there were some extreme circumstances in Pakistan, specifically relating to the petitioner, who was a supporter of Mr. Nawaz, who had been a prior premier, and there was the assassination of Ms. Bhutto, and there were also attacks on Mr. Nawaz, who had just come back into the country. It had been our position that that the board should have remanded for those, and I believe the brief to the board requested a remand. There wasn't a separate motion, but there was a request to remand to the board for consideration. I mean, to the immigration judge to consider the new facts, which were in fact at that time only a month or two old.
And my recollection is what the board said when it denied that request was essentially that these late breaking events couldn't have had anything to do with his original reason for seeking relief of various kinds, whether asylum or withholding. So maybe he failed to draw a link between those more recent events and his earlier application?
His earlier application was, the original claim was based on that he was a Nawaz supporter, and the events that had just occurred specifically related to the same incidents. Nawaz supporters were being attacked. Mr. Nawaz himself, who had just returned to the country after exile, had been attacked. Some of his supporters at demonstrations had just been attacked, and that was immediately before. He was a Nawaz supporter. He was a political activist for Mr. Nawaz, and we believe that that would directly, materially affect whether he would be persecuted if he went back as a Nawaz supporter, because those were the things that were just happening right then.
Right, and
we believe that
the board rejects that. The board says the respondent has not indicated how these events affect his claim in any way. Moreover, these events do not serve to explain or excuse his delay in waiting to file his application until December 2003. So that sounds, again, like a factual determination. I'm not sure, short of your asking, did you file a motion to reconsider with the board on that, or did you? I don't think so.
No, the brief that was filed with the board had requested a remand to the immigration court for consideration of those. It wasn't a separate motion.
Okay.
But again, with respect to that, the board essentially rejected him out of hand because his application had been filed a couple years before these events, and said they couldn't have related back. Our position is that what he was asking for, the relief that he was asking for, Musharraf was no longer, he was in power at that moment, but he had called for elections. He was, I believe he was voted out of office shortly thereafter, or resigned his generalship. There was so many changes going on in Pakistan, specifically relating to his, to the change in power, and specifically including Mr. Nawaz, that we believe that the board should have considered those to be changed conditions in the country of removal and remanded to the board for the for reconsideration.
Let me ask you this. The fact that his father, wife, children, sisters, and brothers remained unharmed in Pakistan, doesn't that undermine his claim?
We don't believe so. First off, his father is approximately 76, I believe. He is not going to be recruited as a fighter for Kashmir. His wife and children also were not involved with the Jamal Ali, I forget how it's pronounced.
What about his brother? What about his siblings?
I'm sorry, I don't recall that he has siblings that are in Pakistan.
One of the problems, too, that the immigration judge finds is those past incidents that he points to were not sufficiently linked to actions of the governmental authorities, either taken by the governmental authorities or situations where the governmental authorities are tolerating or allowing things to go on. And you do have to link these persecution events to the government somehow.
Yes. The Jamal Il, again, Jamal E. Islami is a political party in Pakistan. They one of their main goals is to obtain control of Kashmir for Pakistan, which is a political goal. They were trying to recruit the petitioner to go to Kashmir to fight for Pakistan
How did they, though, relate to either the Musharraf government or any other government? Was the government in Pakistan involved with this recruitment effort to get fighters for Kashmir? I know that's, I mean, obviously that's a very contested place, but
the Musharraf government was not actively engaged in Jamal Islami recruitment, but they acquiesced in that. And in particular, at one point when he was kidnapped and taken for several days, he was taken to an army security area and held there. The persecution that he suffered essentially was at the acquiescence of the government, and we believe it was because he rejected the political aspirations of the extremist political party, and that that imputes a political opinion to him, and that on that basis he certainly did suffer by any of the definitions under the Convention Against Torture, under the USCIS regulations and the Department of State description of common torture practices in Pakistan. He did, in fact, suffer the past persecution. The board in adopting the... I'm sorry, my...
Mr. Petro, I'll ask you to stop now, but I'll give you another minute for rebuttal. So, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, and may it please the Court. Sherry Begay on behalf of the Attorney General. As this Court knows, Mr. Ishitak was placed into removal proceedings in 2003 after overstaying his visitor's visa, and he applied for asylum that same year, which is 3 years after his entry into the United States. Between 2003 and 2007, the Immigration Court granted him several continuances while awaiting the adjudication of a labor certification and visa petition filed by his employer. That visa petition was denied, and another was refiled by the same employer, which was also denied this past on March 17th this year. The petition for review in this case concerns the agency's denial of Mr. Ishitak's applications for withholding of removal and protection under the Torture Convention. The court should deny the petition for review. Mr. Ishitak's claim is based on incidents that occurred in Pakistan after he refused the recruitment efforts of a private Islamic group. And with regard to his claim for withholding of removal, he's failed to establish that what he experienced rises to the level of persecution. He's provided little detail about the severity of the harm that he suffered as a result of these incidents. With regard to the attempted shooting incident, he suffered no actual physical harm. And with regard to the alleged beating and torture incidents, he hasn't provided sufficient details that would compel the conclusion that it rose to the level of persecution.
And his theory does seem to be, though, government acquiescence in the actions of Jamaat-e Islami. He understands that the government's not doing it directly, but acquiescence is a theory that you recognize.
Yes, he does claim that the government acquiesced in the efforts, the recruitment efforts. But
so this takes us back to the ghoulish task that we often have of how much torture is so much torture, or how much, you know, gross mistreatment is enough gross mistreatment to go beyond just mistreatment and to turn into persecution.
Correct.
And he does allege a couple of instances of fairly serious harm, people shooting him, people kidnapping him, beating him, etc.
Correct. Yes, he does allege several. And, you know, this court has had cases where, you know, even where the alien was shot by the alleged persecutor, the court found that, you know, that could rise to the level of persecution. There's certainly incidents that can rise. However, he hasn't provided sufficient details. The court's not aware of, you know, what exactly he suffered from this alleged beating and torture incident, what happened to him, the injuries he had, what kind of medical treatment he saw. He claims that he sought medical treatment, but there's no evidence in the record that he did. But he didn't even, in his testimony, provide the court with any information about the injuries that he had to get treated. And
so he just says, I was tortured, and that's it?
He just says, well, in his testimony, he didn't even claim that he was tortured. He didn't even testify to the torture incident. That was from his affidavit.
So you're complaining that his affidavit doesn't say, you know, they hung me from the ceiling?
Oh, no. His affidavit definitely you know, indicates, he says that he was tortured, and it definitely indicates that, you know, well, if the judge didn't find him credible with regard to the torture incident, but, you know, even if he is credible, they are severe incidents of harm, but...
What years just, were those? What year?
There were, well, there was two incidents. There was 1986 and 87. That was the shooting... 1986 and 87. And then the alleged torture incident was in April of 2000. But the in this case, you know, even if we assume that these incidents rise to the level of persecution, the significant factor here is that there's no nexus between what he experienced and a protected ground. He doesn't claim that he was part of any political organization. Rather, that was his father. And this is primarily a recruitment issue because, as held by the Supreme Court in Elias Zacharias, there's no indication that this alien was targeted because of his political opinion as opposed to, you know, a recruitment effort by this private group, and that after his refusal to join this group, he was threatened and beaten. And furthermore, he hasn't independently established a clear probability of future persecution in this case. Just the fact that he returned to Pakistan numerous times after the attempted shooting incident as well as the beating incidents really weakens his claim.
Doesn't he indicate, though, that he really lays low when he... I mean, he goes off to sea for 10 years. It's actually kind of an interesting story.
Yes.
But he then comes back to Pakistan and has to keep himself fairly scarce because he's been targeted by these people. We've said that if yes. you've got to hide out, that's not really the same as being able to live in a country.
Yes, he does claim that he hid while he was there, but at this point there's no indication that there's any threat against him. These incidents, the 1987 ones, and
what
as well as
the 2000 one?
The 2001. Well, that incident occurred, you know, 9 years ago, and there's no indication that after he left the country that they were searching for him or there was any threat against him.
But they have long memories if they've been doing this from 1987 through 2000. What's to say they aren't still upset that he hasn't complied with their demands as of now?
Well, he hasn't presented, I mean, there's no evidence that would compel the conclusion that he would, you know, be targeted. That there's more, it's more likely than not that they would, you know, target him and persecute him. I mean, even if there's some indication that they might still be looking for him, the record certainly doesn't contain evidence that would compel that conclusion. And, you know, he does have siblings, you know, as was discussed, he does have siblings who, you know, they could just as likely be targeted, you know, for recruitment purposes, his brothers. And there's no indication that they've actually been looking for him while he's been gone.
Does the U.S. Embassy ever try to follow up on what happens to these people that we send back to various countries in difficulty?
I'm sorry?
Does the United States Embassy ever try to follow up on the later fate of people like Mr. Ishitiak, who we send back to countries that are experiencing the kind of difficulties Pakistan is experiencing?
I don't know if it's necessarily in Pakistan. I mean, there have been, for other countries, there have been issues, you know, but that have been raised, and they have followed up to see what happens to the people who return. But with regard to...
Would that show up in the human rights reports, or where would that show up?
Yeah, that could show up in the human rights reports, but there's also other reports that would come out, you know, with regard to other countries that have accepted back, you know, repatriated back citizens, and what happens to them. In this particular case, I'm not quite aware of what would happen to him based on the reports, but there's no indication that, you know, he lives in Karachi, and there's no indication that he in particular would have any problem there. And also with regard to his torture convention claim, he hasn't presented any evidence that he would be targeted by the government or with the consent of the government. That he would be mistreated or much less tortured by the government. If there are no further questions, for the foregoing reasons, the record evidence does not compel reversal of the agency's determination, and the court should therefore deny the petition for review.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Contro, you have a minute for your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Jamal-e-Islami is not really a private organization. It is a political party with members in Congress, members in their provincial governments, etc. Mr. Shitiag did assist his father with the Jamal-e-Islami activities in and around his town. It's not that it was just, I think counsel had said that he wasn't engaged in any party activities. He did assist in the benevolent activities of the party. And it was because of that that he was noticed by the extremists who then tried to bring him in. Being shot, being kidnapped, beaten almost unconscious, injury to his face, those are specific and severe personal injuries. When he was when he suffered some of that in 1986 and 87, he fled the country. His father said, "You got to get out." He got out. He joined Merchant Marine, and when he came back in 2000, he almost immediately again they were trying to get him back in again. He was kidnapped. He was beaten. We believe that Kashmir is still a matter of contention, and that if he is returned, that he would still be subject to the persecution, and the board should have granted him at least a withholding of removal. And for that purpose, we believe it should be the board's decision should be reversed and remanded.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.